Welcome to you for another episode of Marketing to Crush Your Competitors podcast. Well, before we go on with this week's interview, I want to invite you to go and get your free gift at marketingtocrushyourcompetitors.com. And here's what you're going to get: 27 simple marketing strategies to help you skyrocket your online business in the next 6 months. So just press pause. Just go at marketingtocrushyourcompetitors.com and get your gift completely for free. Marketing to Crush Your Competitors podcast, episode 233.
This is the place where successful entrepreneurs share their hustle to get where they are today. Discover how not taking no for an answer led them to achieve their goals. Learn about who inspired them and how they use marketing to crush it in their business. Get financial, spiritual, emotional, and physical tips that are working for them right now. This is the Marketing to Crush Your Competitors podcast. Here's Fabienne Raphael.
This week's interview is with Danny Eaney, and we go a long way because Danny was one of my first guests when I started my podcast. He was on episode 3. And today we talk about the second edition of his book, Teach and Grow Rich. So you'll learn how to take advantage of all these online opportunities, how when you're teaching the right way, that you could create actually a great revenue for your family, for your business, and of course, for you wanting to reach the life that you deserve. So listen to this interview all the way till the end, because at the end, he has a surprise for you. So enjoy, and I'll see you at the back end. What's up, All-Star team? Welcome to another episode of Marketing to Crush Your Competitors podcast. Today, my guest is Danny Eaney, and Danny is the founder of Miracy, host of the Business Reimagined podcast, best-selling author of multiple books, including Engagement from Scratch, The Audience Revolution, and Teach and Grow Rich, and creator of the acclaimed Audience Business Masterclass and Course Builders Laboratory Training Programs, which have together graduated over 5,000 value-driven online entrepreneurs. So Danny, welcome to the show.
Fabienne, it is wonderful to be back here. Thank you so much for having me again.
Yeah, good to say that you're coming back because you're part of the Hall of Famer, as I was telling you in the pre-chat, and congrats to be on your second interview on the podcast.
It is my honor and my privilege.
All right. So you're launching Teach and Grow Rich, Danny. And tell me first, what did you want to represent with this title?
Yeah, well, so the Teach and Grow Rich is a book that I published in September 2015. And now it's coming out in second edition at the end of January 2017, which is imminent. And I chose that title. And, you know, it's partially a nod to Napoleon Hill, but very much because that is what the book is all about. It's about the opportunity to teach, to take what you know and share it with others and use that as a way of creating richness. And I use the word richness cautiously because I didn't want to be lumped in as like, here's how to make money quickly, one of those kind of books. But it really is about building richness in that, you know, yes, wealth is part of it, but freedom is also part of it. Fulfillment, meaning is part of it. You know, at the end of the day, when you take what you know and use that to empower others, yes, you're going to make money, but you're going to do it in a way that is impactful. And, you know, the great analog to that, I think, is that we've all had teachers that have been impactful in our lives. And in many cases, that was meaningful for them. But, you know, the student is the one who is the big winner.
Yeah, of course. And what brought you to write that second edition? Why was the first edition not enough for you and you had to rework it and go with a second one?
Well, you know, it's interesting. They're both self-published. And so I kind of had that choice back in the day when I wrote the first edition. Do I go the self-published route and get it out right away? Or do I go the traditional published route, in which case it would have been coming out about now? The decision I made was I wanted to get my ideas out there so that, you know, I thought it was timely. I thought it was relevant. I wanted to get it in the hands of the people that it could impact and see what difference it made, see what value it created, see what questions they had. And, you know, the landscape has changed, but also a lot of people have read the book. I've got a lot of feedback, a lot positive, some about where it could be better and what they want to see more of. And it was just time to take all of that and integrate it into something new and better. And so, it's not a cosmetic revision. It's not like I added a foreword and changed the dedication and that's it. It's, you know, the first edition was 13,000 words. The second edition is 43,000. Mm-hmm. So it's dramatically expanded with case studies and examples and how-tos and all the things that people asked for me to include.
Yes. And you spoke about, of course, the title says it, Teach and Grow Rich. And meaning that a lot of people that teach can have that long-term impact on people and transform their life in a way. So would you mind explaining from your point of view who is qualified enough to teach? Because you know that people sometimes have limitations about, okay, so will I be able, or do I have the credentials to teach, or who am I to do this? So could you explain who do you think is qualified enough to teach?
I love that question because you're right. A lot of people are very hung up on, you know, do I know enough? Am I expert enough? Do I have the credentials? Do I have the teaching skill or experience? And I think all of those things are nice to have. You know, I'm not saying that, you know, if you could have a credential, you're better off without it. Of course, credentials are nice, but none of those things are deal breakers. None of those are the things that people really, really care about in their teachers. What they ultimately care about is, do you know something that would be valuable to others? Mm-hmm. That's the only non-negotiable. You cannot teach others if you don't know anything that would be valuable for them to learn. The analog that I really like is the example that people give of, you know, to the second grader, the fourth grader is an expert. And there's a lot of wisdom there that I think is often glossed over. Because yes, that means if you have some expertise and you're not a great, you know, you're not the world's leading authority, you can still teach people who don't know as much as you.
Yeah.
And that's very, very important to take away. But the flip side of that is that, you know, a fourth grader can teach a second grader. That doesn't mean the fourth grader can teach the second grade, right? There's a limitation to scope.
Yes.
And so if you don't feel like you have an enormous amount of experience or skill or background, you can still work with people in the specific focus of what you want to teach. And that is how you develop your skills to broaden the way you can impact people in the future.
Mm. And that's so reassuring for so many people listening right now, because again, there's always this doubt that, am I qualified enough? But the way you explained it, then it means that, okay, so if you could help someone with this topic or with this specific task or this specific thing, then of course there's an opportunity for you also to be successful.
Absolutely. And you know, you start with the person you can help right now.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. So Danny, what about the education cost? Because from your book, I learned that, and I was surprised that the cost of, let's say, studying high education, let's say at university, is like 18 times more than it was in earlier days, and the salaries are only like 5 times more. So more and more people are considering not necessarily going for a high education, but finding another option. So what's your take on that?
Yeah, so definitely the cost of higher education, formal traditional education, has been going up dramatically. There's also a lot of other factors. It's becoming very out of touch in terms of what the modern work and personal world is looking for. Professionally, when people are looking to learn skills, it's much less of, I want a general education that will teach me a little bit about a lot, and much more leaning towards a more granular focused education of, I want someone to teach me how to accomplish this specific outcome and objective.
Mm-hmm.
And all of these things play into the fact that people are becoming very skeptical of investing enormous amounts of money into a higher education environment. Now, this is interesting and relevant for education entrepreneurs. People are thinking about building and selling their own courses because the interest in and value of education has not changed. People still care a great deal about education.
Mm-hmm.
And all those dollars have to go somewhere, right? They're looking for a better place to put all that investment. And there aren't a lot of good providers online right now. It's just, mm-hmm. it's an emerging market. And so it's a huge upcoming opportunity for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. And you say also that you make a clear statement about information and education, like the difference between both of them. And you say that there are marketers that sell online premium products, but they don't provide that support. So they're not educating people. They're just selling information, and their role is to educate. So first off, like, would you explain the difference between giving that information compared to educate people? And then what's the best way to do this?
Absolutely. And that gap between information and education is a big part of why a lot of people feel frustrated and disillusioned with this market. Mm. Information fundamentally is about giving people exposure to something they didn't already know. It's about expanding their horizons. It's about integrating new knowledge into an existing skill set. Mm-hmm. Information is not good at taking people from a certain level of competence and ability to a higher level. For that kind of transformation, you need education. Now, let's use the real world to wrap our heads around this. Mm-hmm. In the real world, the best example of information is a book in a bookstore.
Yeah.
So you go to a bookstore, you find the book that you're looking for, that ostensibly has the information you're looking for inside it. You go to the register, you pay for it, and you don't typically pay a lot of money because information is usually free or cheap. And once you've paid for that book, nobody owes you anything. Not the author, not the bookstore owner, not the publisher. You got what you paid for. And what you do with it now is totally on you. Mm-hmm. Now, let's compare that with a formal education environment. Let's say a university. You can't buy a diploma the way you can buy a book. What you can buy is the opportunity to earn one. And you're typically going to invest a lot more money because it does take a lot more to create a good educational experience, and you get a lot more out of it.
Yeah.
And in that environment, you're not solely responsible for your success. You're still responsible, but so is your teacher. There's a partnership between the teacher and student to work together towards the shared goal of the student's learning. Mm-hmm. And that's what creates a real transformation. Now, information and education both have their place. The problem is when people essentially try to charge education prices, premium prices, for information, and that doesn't work. Mm-hmm. And here's a very important insight. The difference between information and education is about that responsibility. It's not about the media. So it's not that text is information and video is education. You know, text, audio, video, all these formats can be information if what you do with it is totally on you.
Yeah.
And so a bunch of videos in a membership site is not going to command a premium price. It just doesn't make sense. And if you want to know what is the broad market's assessment of the value of a kind of product, you look at the biggest marketplace in the world, right? If you want to know what an ebook is worth, you look on Kindle, which is the biggest marketplace. What are the prices? Mm-hmm. And so if you want to know what a course of that sort, you know, videos in a membership site, no support, no responsibility for the student's success, look at Udemy. It's the biggest marketplace for that in the world. And, you know, the courses are coming in under $200, often mm-hmm. much under $200.
Yes. Yes, they are. Now, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, if you want to play in that space, you can, but it's getting harder. You know, there's a company called Masterclass that has come onto the scene recently, and they create quote unquote courses. It's information courses. It's not education. And they do it with celebrities. So mm-hmm. if you want to take an acting class with Dustin Hoffman or a screenwriting class with Aaron Sorkin or a tennis class with Serena Williams, you can do that for $100. Now it's information. Right? It's not education. You know, when I take the screenwriting class, Aaron Sorkin has no connection to me and is not reviewing my work or anything like that. Mm-hmm. But there's definitely a market for it. Now, the challenge is, A, because the price is low, you have to sell a lot of volume.
Yes.
And so the people going into it are the people who tend to have large platforms. And that makes it really difficult. You know, if I'm starting out and I want to build my first course and I have some expertise in screenwriting, how do I compete with Aaron Sorkin, who wrote The West Wing and A Few Good Men and all these shows and movies? It's very difficult. Mm-hmm. So there will be a market for information, but it's going to be more and more crowded and more and more challenging. But Aaron Sorkin, you know, barely had time to invest the energy to create this informational course. He's not going to create an educational experience where he's working with, because, you know, he's busy. He has other priorities. And so after people get into this space and they're thinking, wow, this is great, where can I learn more? Suddenly Aaron Sorkin has created a demand for more premium courses that he's not going to fulfill. And so education is the big growth opportunity for a lot of entrepreneurs.
Mm-hmm. And that's totally well explained. So are you then saying to people that they should be aware of, if they are about to, let's say, buy an online course, and this online course has been I don't know, at a premium price, let's say $1,000 or $2,000, and there's no support, should they be like kind of on the break for that?
I think people should be smart about making sure they're getting what they're paying for. And what you're paying for should not just be exposure to new ideas. It should be outcomes. You know, I'm all for paying a couple hundred dollars to get some new ideas and inspiration. Mm-hmm. But, you know, paying $1,000, $2,000 or more, you really want to ask yourself, will this create the outcomes that I'm looking for? Yes. And, you know, there are people, I like to say, you know, there are three groups of students in any course. There are the students who are going to succeed no matter what. There are also the students who are going to fail no matter what. You know, you can go to their house and sit with them, like they're just not going to do anything. Mm-hmm. But then there's most students. And the question is, does this experience support the majority of students to be successful? So if you're sitting from a position of, you know what, I don't need them to help me. I'm just going to go in there, get what I can. I'm going to be successful no matter what. Then, you know, pay whatever you want for anything. But if you've taken courses before and you haven't gotten the outcomes that you were looking for, then you want to look at maybe there's something in common that these courses have that they just didn't put the infrastructure in place to help you get the results you want. Mm-hmm. You know, people can spend money as much as they want, wherever they want, mm-hmm. but people should respect their own goals and be honest with themselves about whether what they're seeing on offer is likely to get them there. Mm.
And you just mentioned the three types of students that exist, but you also describe in your book the four major groups of successful course creators. So there are the professionals, the journeymen, the experts, and the insiders. So would you mind just saying a couple of words on each of these major groups?
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the things that's happened since I published the first edition is that we've worked with literally thousands of our own students, people who are learning from us how to build and sell courses in our Course Builders Laboratory training program. And one of the common questions that I get right at the beginning, kind of like you alluded at the beginning of this conversation, people are thinking, what if I'm not qualified enough? What if I don't know enough? What if I'm not prepared? What if I don't know enough about marketing? What if I don't have a platform, et cetera? And so I wanted to have a good answer to that. And so we did an analysis of all of our students to kind of see, how did they divide up? How did they group? Is there a category of people who are not successful? And we found that everybody fits into one of these four categories. And their path to success is going to be a little bit different, but everyone can be successful. And I can explain really quickly what they are, because it's a function of two dimensions. One dimension is your relative level of expertise. You know, are you an authority who's been in your space for decades, or are you, you know, relatively new to it? And the other is degree of monetization. In other words, how much are you already getting paid for this expertise? Mm-hmm. So the professional is high expertise, high monetization. This is your high paid consultant, coach, specialist. You know, this is the kind of person who likely gets on airplanes and gets paid a lot of money by the hour. That's that category of person. And when they look at building online courses, they're thinking about, how do I diversify my income? How do I reach more people? Because there are only so many hours in the day. And we've seen a lot of professionals be very successful, as you might expect. Then there is high expertise, low monetization. So this is your expert category. Mm-hmm. This is your university professor, your academic, your blogger who's built a following but hasn't really monetized it. Mm-hmm. And what they're looking for is to get better compensated for the expertise that they've worked so hard to develop and the topic that they care about so much. Yeah. And again, we found we have a lot of students who fit this profile who've been very successful. They do it a little bit differently, and we teach them what to do. And, you know, we speak to that in the book and in our course. But there is a way for them to be successful. Now, what about low expertise, which is where a lot of people feel more concerned? Well, maybe it's low expertise, high monetization. Mm-hmm. That's the journeyman. That's someone who, you know, maybe you've only been in your field for a few years and you're working in it. You're getting paid in it already on a regular basis. So maybe it's a side hustle. Maybe it's your job. You're not the world's leading authority, but you know your stuff. You know what you're doing. And again, we have a lot of students who fit this profile, and they've been very successful. Mm-hmm. And the last profile, this is the one that people find the most challenging if this describes them, is the insider. This is someone who doesn't have a high degree of expertise, is not monetizing that relatively low amount of expertise in a meaningful way. This is someone who is, you know, maybe you've been studying martial arts for a few years and you love it and you're passionate about it, but, you know, you don't have a black belt, you're not an expert, and nobody's ever paid you for it. Maybe your hobby or your passion is music or playing the guitar or whatever it is. This is someone who has an inside view on something that others are looking at from the outside. They want to get into. And even in that category, which would seem to be the hardest one to move forward from, we have a lot of students who are very successful. Mm-hmm. And so the purpose of the profiles is not to say, if you don't meet any of these four, you can't be successful. It's rather to say, everybody I've met falls into one of these four categories. And yes, your path is a little bit different. And it's important to know that and know which way to go. But also to know that regardless of where you fall, this is something that you can do and can be successful at.
Yeah, that's exactly what you just explained there. So everybody who would want to embrace that opportunity has a chance if they're doing it the right way and learn the right way. So let's say that someone thinks about creating their first online course. So where do you think they should start, and how can they enroll people before they have even created it?
So the very first step is to get a really clear picture of what is it that you want to teach. And the mistake that most people make is going too broad rather than too narrow. It's very rare that I work with a course creator who is setting out to create their first course and they're just not including enough value in their course. And the reason is, you know, if you want to look at the psychology for a moment, we're setting out to start something new, we're creating this course for the first time, and that brings it with some insecurity, right? We've got to kind of prove to ourselves and prove to others that, yes, this is good enough. And so our tendency is to overcompensate and pack in more ideas and more information and more training so we can kind of look at the list of everything that's included and like point to it and say, look, it is good enough, I told you. The problem is that doesn't actually serve your students very well. The best way to build a course is to focus on, I call it minimum viable outcome. In other words, not what's the most you can give them. What is the least you can give them that will still get them the outcome they care about? Right? So it's not about not creating value. It's about focusing only on the value that is most important for them. So get clear on what is that outcome, narrow down the scope as much as possible to just that, and then go start talking to people who are a good fit, who would be interested in this outcome, or at least that you think would be interested in this outcome, and validate that you're right. If you talk to a dozen people and you say, hey, I'm thinking about creating a course about XYZ, and it would create this outcome, is that something that you think you might be interested in? And that's a very low-key conversation, right? We're not talking about becoming an aggressive used car salesman or anything. But if you bring it up like that and 12 people say, no, I don't think I would be interested, well, that's really great feedback, and you haven't built anything out, and you know that now, so you can change your plans. On the other hand, if you've got an angle that is really focused on what they want, a lot of people will say, yeah, I think that would be great. I'd love to be a part of that. And from there, it's very easy to enroll them to say, well, you know, I'm doing this pilot course, a pilot meaning your first iteration, your first attempt at what you're eventually going to create. It's going to be a little rough around the edges. I'm going to deliver it live. People are going to get a bunch of extra support. And I'm offering it to them at this special price in exchange for their feedback on what they're liking and what's challenging and how I could make it better. I'm only accepting, let's say, 10 people or 20, whatever the number is. Would you like one of those spots? And if they say yes, you take their payment. And if they say no, you say, no worries at all. Could you tell me why? And you emphasize that I'm not trying to convince you. I just want to understand because, you know, I'm still deciding whether to do this. I'd hate to do it if people don't want it. And you can enroll people very quickly and then invest. First of all, you validated you're on the right track with something that people actually want. And then you invest your energies not in preparation that will end up having been irrelevant anyway. You invest your energies in creating the best possible experience for them as you work with them in real time.
Exactly. And I think that's what sometimes some people get wrong, that they want to create something that they thought is a good idea, but then when they try to market it, it doesn't work out because nobody's interested into it. So then maybe just a few words after about like how to market it. Let's say you've done your research and you've asked a couple of people and you see that there's a lot of interest. So how they should start about marketing it, like when they start working on it?
Well, what we already talked about, that is marketing it. You should actually be able to enroll your first group of paying students in that way. Now, here's the interesting thing. People have a very interesting relationship with marketing and the role that it plays. Now, I'm a marketer, right? I think marketing is important, but what I've learned from my experience doing this for a number of years now is that the more success you have, the less marketing matters. Right? Marketing matters the most when you're just getting started and you have no success at all. And the reason for that is that when you introduce something to the market for the first time, they have nothing to form an impression based on other than the marketing. You know, they can go on Facebook, say, "Hey, has anyone taken Fabienne's new course? Does it work?" And of course, everyone will say, "Well, no, it's new. I've never taken it." And so if the marketing is good, they'll buy it. Now, the mistake that some people make is thinking they have to be great marketers. And this is where marketing that is too good will actually come back to bite you. If your marketing is too good, and instead of bringing on 20 people that you can work with closely and see how they're doing, you bring on 1,000 people. Like, you know, you see some big internet marketing launches for a new product for the first time. Well, no course is perfect the first time. You can't work closely with 1,000 people. You can't adjust your course as you go in response to what 1,000 people need. You're going to be buried under it. And what that means is that most of your students are probably going to fail, which is what happens with a lot of courses online. Now, the challenge with that is that what happens 6 months later? What happens a year later? When you come to sell this course again, people are going to go on Facebook again and say, "Hey, has anyone taken this course?" And unlike earlier, when people are like, "Well, no, it's new, I haven't heard," you're going to have a lot of people say, "Yeah, I took it. It was terrible. I didn't get any results." And you're dead in the water. And that's why you see a lot of people who launch a course, maybe they launch it a second time, kind of 6 months later, and then it's gone and they're off to create a new course because they weren't able to deliver the results. If you focus on enrolling a small group of people, delivering a great experience, you have the ultimate weapon, which is case studies of people who've been successful, and that trumps everything else.
Yeah, totally agree with you on that. And I think that's the big idea of people wanting to be successful like quickly, like get rich quick scheme, if we could say it like that, instead of just concentrating into a small group of people at first to actually improve and craft a better product or service and then offer it to the world after.
Absolutely.
So Danny, this has been so interesting. If people want to know more about you, or if they want to get the book, where should they go?
Well, the book is coming out at the end of the month, the end of the month being January. And if you go to teachandgrowrichbook.com, you can do two things. You can put your name on the list to get the notifications when we release it in digital format for free, which we're doing right as the book launches. You can also pre-order a physical copy of the book and get a whole bunch of bonuses. Now, as a special gift to listeners of this podcast, if you go to teachandgrowrichbook.com, you pre-order a copy of the book and you use the coupon code CRUSH for, of course, marketing to crush your competitors. Use the coupon code CRUSH. The first 50 people to do that will get a hard physical copy of the book and all the bonuses for free. So it's going to cost me about $1,000 to deliver that, and I'm really happy to do that as a gift to listeners of this podcast. So teachandgrowrichbook.com, the coupon code is CRUSH.
All right, Danny, thank you so much for such a great time. And I'm sure you made people want to know more about this and get your book. I hope that you appreciated this interview with Danny because it was filled with actionable steps and what you need in order to create the business that you love and to teach to others so you can make a great impact in the world. I want to invite you to connect with me on social, and it's easy. Just go at marketingtocrushyourcompetitors.com/social, and you'll be able to connect with me either on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter, your favorite one. And I love to have a direct contact with my audience. I love to know what you're up to, how you're progressing in your business, and of course, what I could do better in my podcast because I appreciate all of your comments and I try to, of course, I take them seriously so I can improve my podcast day after day. So I hope you're having a fantastic week and you're gonna crush it in your business like usual. And I'll see you again next week for another episode of Marketing to Crush Your Competitors podcast. Take care.